Okay. Good morning. It is about 8:30. My name is Julie Fedorchak with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We're gathered on the 12th floor of the State Capitol for a formal hearing on four NSP cases, extension for a light mitigating technical system. PU-08-797, 17-368, 13-64, and 15-174. We are doing this as a formal hearing, and so we'll try to follow the formal hearing processes as much as possible, with the exception of we won't be swearing in witnesses. And so I'll in a second invite my colleagues to give opening comments if they have any, and then we'll turn it over to the company to walk through your material, kind of make your case, and then we'll ask you questions. And I don't know that staff will be presenting any information. Brian, no? Okay, so we'll have staff will just, during cross-examination, ask you questions as well. And so that's sort of the plan for the morning. Does anybody have any questions or concerns with that process? Doesn't look like it. All righty. Very good. Well, I'll let Commissioner Christman go first with opening comments.
I do not have any opening comments.
Thanks. Okay. Commissioner Crosses. All right. Very good. So I'm looking forward to the discussion this morning and appreciate the company's advanced information that it filed. And hopefully we'll get through everything and it'll point to a logical decision. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Simpser on behalf of NSP, and you can introduce your folks too as well.
Thank you, Commissioner Fedorchak. I'm Zev Simpser for the record, representing Xcel Energy here. With me is Dave Sierquist, as you all know, and then online is Mr. Toby Tuttle, who's the project manager for these. Is he available?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me, Zev?
Yes, I can hear you, Toby. Thanks. Toby was going to be with us in person today, but his daughter was exposed to COVID, and so out of an abundance of caution, we kept him in a concealed room somewhere else. I think today Dave will give some brief introductions, and I'll plan to kind of go through the company's case and provide explanations, take questions as they come. Toby's available as our subject matter expert as well, and if there's any questions that come across that we can't answer, we will certainly follow up very promptly.
Excellent. And tell me again what Toby's position is.
He's the project manager with our energy supply organization.
So of all of these projects?
Yes, both of these, correct.
Okay. All right. Then I think you can proceed.
I'll give it to Dave.
Sure. Thanks, Commissioner. Good morning. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. Zev mentions that Toby is unable to be here. We are very appreciative of the technology that you guys have here to be able to participate virtually, so that's great. I believe that Kasun Chandrakath might also be on the line, so just he also works closely on this project in the field, so Toby mention whether he's available or not, but I just wanted to make that clear. Mr. Simpser will be providing some details on the project and our request here. So with that, I'm just going to hand it over to him. Most of the introductions have been done. So thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to come today. Today's hearing relates to the company's request made on September 10th of 2021. For an extension of time to install aircraft detection lighting systems, or ADLS, at the Border Winds and Courtney Wind Farm. Just to be clear, since our filing, we have been able to take advantage of good weather and some lucky outcomes, and are actually on track to complete both projects by the end of the year. And we'll go through our presentation and show you where we've made some progress with the schedule to do that. That said, we still believe an extension would be worthwhile out of an abundance of caution. If anything doesn't quite work out, we may miss that deadline. Weather, labor, those are things that continue to put pressure on our ability to execute the project on time. If things drag on too far, we are just going to get frozen out for the remainder of the year, and we'll need to begin finishing up in spring. But with that said, I do want to make sure everybody's aware, at this point in time, since September, we're now asking for this request on an abundance of caution, which we hope will be granted. I can go through the presentation now. So this request relates to two separate wind facilities, Borders and Courtney. We'll start with Borders. It's located in very north central North Dakota, in Rolette County, just north of Rolla. It went in service in December of 2015. It's a 150 megawatt wind farm with 75 2 megawatt Vestas turbines, and has been operating quite well with a cap factor of 51%. So the Border Winds project, the ADLS project, is essentially a retrofit with ADLS technology of the existing Borders project. It was important to us to get a one tower design into these projects, and that was a big technological and dollars driver for how we design these projects. A one tower design is less expensive, it's more efficient, and really is a better outcome for a retrofit. The different tower placements and different tower designs are a big driver of how these projects are ultimately designed and procured. And for Border Wind, given the view shed and the location, the design ultimately ended up with an 80-foot high radar tower. Border Winds did not have ADLS compatible lights, so the project also included putting 55 FAA lights and the modules necessary to operate them, retrofitted at the Border Wind facility. When you build a new tower, you need to have an access road, so that's another major component of the project. You also need an equipment compound, lay fiber optics for the lights, and sort of the remainder and balance of plant. Our project schedule, when the project was put together, was approximately 9 months for the Border Winds project. And that 9 months is counted from vendor selection date to full in-servicing and commissioning. The next project is the Courtney Wind Facility.
Questions as we go.
Yeah.
So in our last hearing, we tried to keep it as close to the formal hearing process, not the informal hearing process, as possible. So how do you guys feel about it? Do you want to adjust it?
However you
Brian, how about you?
I'm fine waiting.
Do you want to just insert questions, or do we want to go through like a witness, like we did the last time? We do have to make time at the end for public comments and as well. So you should have
my coffee, my most important item of the day. It's covering up my light. Second, maybe third most important. Anyway. I think we're going to run it as this is a formal proceeding. It was announced as such. I think we should stay consistent. Otherwise, okay. We could have just gone.
Yeah. So, Zev, if you can maybe.
I'll mosey on.
Go through it all, yep, and then we'll come back and ask questions, or if you prefer to divide it up into this project and the next
that's
project.
That's fine. Okay. The presentation is intended to be quite short and leaving enough time for everybody's questions. I'll move more quickly.
And then if you want to call your next witness who's on the phone, Toby, to add anything, you can do that after you talk and after we ask you questions.
And that's right. And I spoke with Mr. Johnson earlier today. I'll answer questions the best I can, and if we need Toby, he'll chime in.
Perfect. Okay. But we'll have him come second then, just
yep,
like we would in here. Okay.
Sounds perfect.
Thank you.
So the second project is Courtney. That's over near Courtney, North Dakota. It's a 200-megawatt wind farm operating at 41%. The ADLS project over at Courtney is very similar to the one at Borders. The main difference is, given the location and view shed, it's a 50-foot tower rather than an 80-foot tower. Again, an access road is necessary. There's a few more modules, but we didn't need the actual FAA lights because the lights at Courtney were compatible with this technology. And again, we approximated about a 9-month schedule for this. And so on slide 6, I think, is really where we want to present a little bit of information about our initial plans and then how they deviated, which really is slide 7 and 8. Our initial plans had this 9-month schedule from starting at that March 15th date that you can see where it's notification of selection. And that 9 months we thought was more than conservative. Some of the ADLS vendors are saying that these should be about a 6-month project. And as you'll see, this schedule really starts where we did vendor selection, where we were proposing to do vendor selection starting in December. And the reason for a December start date with vendor selection is really when we were looking at this in the middle of 2020, identifying this as a 9-month project, looking at impacts to long lead time procurement, labor issues related to COVID, and assorted other whatnot that was going on right in the middle of 2020. There was a real interest in seeing if waiting a little bit longer would make sense to make the project go more smoothly. Additionally, we were having the Foxtail wind facility was going in online in the middle of 2020, and it would have given us some experience with this technology by the vendor Terma. And at the end of the day as well, our Crown Ridge facility was going in at the end of 2020, which was going to give us experience with the DTECT product as well. And so waiting a little bit of time really allowed us to help phase the project inappropriately, take into consideration a lot of different issues that were going on in the middle of 2020, while also, quite frankly, providing us quite a bit of time to get the project done. And so our initial schedule had us issuing RFPs in December and selecting our vendor in mid-March. While that was going on, we would be working with the landowners, doing engineering and procurement, and then permitting. And the idea here is that we would select the vendor. While we're working with the vendor, we'd have a good idea of what's going on. We knew we'd have to start the project, so we can start working with landowners to get the project implemented while we're still doing vendor selection. But at the end of the day, we can't finalize anything with a landowner until we have a selected vendor and finalized design. And it's sort of that back and forth. If you move the tower one place, the tower may have to be re-engineered. If you have an initial engineering of the tower, the landowner, it may not work for the landowner. And as we were moving forward looking for a single tower design, that became the ultimate driver of the delays in the schedule, which was trying to get that one tower design appropriately designed and having landowner sign off and making sure that access roads and tower placement weren't overly impactful to the landowner, and so that we can get a deal done and move forward. And then there's a series of permitting, and again, permitting is also a function of what's your ultimate design, which is also a function of what can the landowner agree to. And so this was sort of our 140-day permitting schedule, and we left a 74-day window for construction. And that 74-day window for construction was intended to do this on a sequential basis: build the road, put up the tower, put in the lights, and do all that sort of at a good leisurely pace to make sure that everything was done correctly and safely. Then a small window for commissioning and testing with a December 1st in-service date was our initial schedule. That gave us about a month buffer, which we thought would make sense given that a 9-month schedule for the project was considered to be conservative. So what actually happened? And the story of Border and Courtney are very similar, and so I can provide a good overview. If you have questions about specifics, you know, Mr. Tuttle will be really the best person to ask about. But at the end of the day, a couple of things happened, and we're hoping that these schedule comparisons can be clear. The first is the ultimate negotiation with the vendors took longer than expected. What was really going on there was, one, there was still hangover from COVID, and so we had some issues with respect to subcontractors. Our RFP with DTEC had them doing on a turnkey basis rather than a main, and then we'd have to go contract with the subs. And so that process took a little longer. Because that process took a little longer, we didn't start landowner discussions until a little later. And as we were working with the landowners, that also kind of pushed engineering and design. And the big issues with the landowners were, of course, the impact of the fencing compounds around the towers and the access roads to the towers and the impact on their fields and their farming operations. And then, of course, we had some procurement issues. I think everybody had procurement issues at that time. The biggest long lead time item was a transformer to get that down to service voltage. Those transformers have now been delivered, so we were able to manage through that. And again, the back and forth on the design and location of the tower impacted our permitting. But we were able to make up quite a considerable amount of time by shortening our construction window. Rather than doing the construction on a sequential basis, we've now been able to do it on essentially a parallel basis. So both Borders and Courtney's are going to move in parallel, but also a lot of the more or less, and also a lot of the construction itself is going to be done in parallel. So the roads and the lights will be installed at the same time as the tower and things like that. We're hoping that that will provide us sufficient construction efficiencies to meet the end of year deadline. That said, there continues to be, and so that's the schedule for Borders. Courtney is essentially the same issues with some details different, so that's page 8. And so as sort of we noted, the biggest drivers of the delay have been the landowner concerns, that delayed construction start date, that delayed our environmental concerns. We had some supply chain issues. We believe we've overcome them. It did impact our construction start date, but at the same time, we think we're going to make it. So the biggest potentials for delay continue to be labor issues. It's been a very, very tight labor market. Making sure we get skilled labor out to these sites continues to be a challenge. There are actually crews out at Borders right now, and we expect them to start at Courtney soon. And then, of course, the weather. Now that we're in November, the weather can always be of a concern. It's been very cooperative lately, and so we're hopeful that we can kind of get this done by the end of the year. But if not, we may be seeing some delays, and that's why we're here asking for an extension.
Okay. Thank you, Zev. Brian, do you have any questions, or do you want to go through us first?
I guess it doesn't matter. If you guys want to go first, you can, and I can follow up with anything that's left over.
Okay. I'll turn it over to Commissioner Crispin first.
Well, Zev, you made a point that I was writing down and really wanted to get, and then right before you went from Border Winds to Courtney, the last thing you talked about, I just missed. So I was wondering if you could kind of look at your notes and see what the last thing was and repeat it. I don't even have a reference for you.
Sure, absolutely. The Border Winds project, it's a single tower, 80-foot high tower project with an access road. It needs new lights and the control modules. We need to build an equipment compound. We're going to have to lay some cable to make the lights work. And we had an approximately 9-month schedule laid out for that from vendor selection.
So then, thank you for repeating that. And then I guess the bigger thing to me is, you know, I understand current labor issues. I understand supply chain issues we've had this last year. But we've also had several years since this was passed, since the requirement to adopt this was passed. The vote in the legislature, if I got my notes right, it was something like 83-8 in the House and 45-1 in the Senate. I mean, that is an overwhelming mandate that people wanted this to get done. What's the company's perspective on why they wanted this light mitigation on there applied?
Why landowners?
Or why the legislature?
Why the legislature?
And the governor who signed the bill.
Certainly. I mean, our understanding is generally that there's an issue in preserving the dark skies here in North Dakota, that this technology has come along and is just a net improvement for everybody living near a wind farm.
Okay. So, and I agree with you on that. That being said, why not make that improvement in 2018 already? Why wait until the last minute? And how, with a couple dozen of these wind farms that were already in existence that had this time deadline, if everybody's waiting until the last year, outside of COVID and new developments that have occurred, how could there not be a supply chain issue and a labor problem if a couple dozen wind farms are going to do it in the last 6 months?
No, I certainly understand that concern, Commissioner Chrisman, and I think the company really is doing its best to make what is the legislative deadline. And when you start looking at the timelines and how things shaped up, it was pretty reasonable, we think, to start assessing the project when we did. And then, of course, the state of the world changed pretty significantly. We also think it was pretty reasonable to make the deadline to schedule for nine months. We think that would have given us a reasonable buffer, but for some of these supply chain challenges. And I do understand the concern. Why didn't we do it even earlier? The other thing that's also worth noting is this technology was being deployed on some of our greenfield projects as well that we were in the process of putting together and getting some experience with the Terma as a vendor and Detect as a vendor. So when we were making vendor selections for retrofitting, was really a worthwhile exercise. Could we have moved more quickly? Yes, probably. But we continue to try to manage the project to meet that statutory deadline.
Would these not have made a good learning experience for the company in advance of the Greenfield projects?
That would be another way to look at it, Commissioner. I think you're right. The Greenfield projects are a little bit different in that, certainly for Foxtail, we're doing them on a build-own-transfer basis. And so choices of vendor selection and how that would be managed would be really sitting with the developer and not necessarily with the company.
Okay, thank you. No other questions?
Thank you. Commissioner Crosius?
All right. I'm going to keep this brief. I'm not going to scold you. Tempted.
That's why I'm here.
To dovetail, because I don't think it's without reason. So just a couple of questions. And they're actually probably a little bit different. What type of a cost overrun do you anticipate as things have evolved and you're trying to get everything done before the deadline? It gets more costly typically to do these things when you're under the gun. Can you give me any idea of that?
I think Mr. Tuttle can confirm, but I'm pretty sure these are still coming in on budget.
Really? Mm-hmm. So
even with the labor shortage? That's correct.
You're not?
No.
Okay. I'm going to dive into that a little bit more, and that's another part for another proceeding, but in terms of recovery down the road for implementing this.
Sure.
Which is reasonable because you were told to by the legislature. I agree. I think waiting on December 20th. When I look at the reasons for extension, landowner concerns, issues, they're always out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing new. Labor shortages for North Dakota, that's not new.
Correct.
Either. We saw that during the oil boom. Cold, wet weather, definitely nothing new. So, these things and the agricultural practices and whatnot, I would just strongly encourage the company to understand our landscape, economic landscape, when it comes to labor because of the energy industry, the ups and downs of that. Understand the landscape better, because when you go into these projects, and you have had quite, a reasonable amount of time, what I'm listening for is why December 20th was chosen as the starting date. We were in the middle of a pandemic. supply chain issues had already reared their ugly head. And they're real, there's no doubt about it, but they had already become very pronounced even going back to last May and June of 2020. Mm-hmm. So, let's see. Well, here's what here's my advice. I would hate to be advocating a fine because you were, hate to have to get to that point because you were late. Move heaven and earth, get the project done, and on time. So that's my, I'm just being candid. I don't want to get to that point. I don't, haven't heard anything so far that, okay, this is reasonable in terms of why you're not going to get it, hit the deadline. So that would be my really, really, I would urge you, again, move heaven and earth to get this done. Fair
enough.
Thank
you. Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Commissioner Crosius. I will say ditto. I would agree with Commissioner Crosius. Two questions to that end. Do you have all the components currently?
I believe we do. Is that correct, Toby?
And just for
not the on site, but they've been manufactured and are on their way.
Okay. And do you have the approvals from the landowners?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And I don't have any other big questions because you've talked through the big issues. I will say, just as a comment, and then I am going to express my frustration, not at the two of you, but that you can take back to the company. But first of all, the decision last year, when you saw some of the challenges with supply chain, this was not an early point in COVID. COVID had already been going on. Was it a year or six? I can't even remember now. I'm losing track of the years, but long enough to know that there's a major disruption. So it feels like the exact opposite correct move to decide to wait longer than to start sooner. So when you saw that, it seems to me that it would have been much more pragmatic for the company to say, oh my, yeah, it could take us longer than we expect. Let's start now. So that's puzzling, and it doesn't give me confidence in the decision making of the company leadership. But even more, Xcel Energy has laid out some very bold goals. You were the most aggressive utility in the whole country when it came to establishing goals for renewable energy. That kind of leadership requires additional responsibility. And one of those, it seems to me, would be very logical to try to do the company's very best to address concerns that the landowners who you need to be on your side to make those plans real, to address their concerns and eliminate them whenever possible to make it easier to get permits for siting. This was handed to you in a silver platter. Here's an issue that's a big deal for customers in a state where we can get wind capacity at 51%. And here we are. You could have done this 2 years ago and been heroes. Not wait for that legislative deadline. It's gonna cost money to put it in now or 2 years from now. And from what I've heard, the operations isn't significantly more once the lights are installed and working. So that is just really disappointing. And I have to take this time to share that with you in hopes that you will take that up the chain of command. Xcel needs to be a leader in every way on this renewable energy revolution, not just in the ways that it benefits the company to get the big, bold headlines showing that it's doing its part in climate change. that means taking care of landowners so that those goals can become a reality. So that I echo Commissioner Crosius's. I don't see a lot of legitimate reasons to provide an extension here. You're this close. You've got this stuff. Just get it done. So, Brian, do you have any questions?
I think all my questions would be for Toby.
Okay. So should we go ahead and bring Toby up?
That'd be great.
All right.
Morning, Toby. Let's start with the Courtney Wind Farm. You said, where are we at on construction on that?
So it's going to start within the week.
Okay, and
they went out to Borders to do initial site orientations and safety orientations, and then they're going to follow with Courtney.
Okay, and that's going to, the road's going to be built first, or it's all going in at the same time? Road tower.
It's kind of all going in at the same time. That's kind of how they've been able to crash the schedule. So the compound itself, where all the equipment will go, and the access road are kind of going to be put in place.
Okay, but at this time, the access road has not been built. The tower has not been built. The pad for the tower has not been built. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, and going back to, and that's for both projects.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Quick question. So on Border Winds, there's 75 towers, but you guys only had to get 55 lights. Can you explain to me, is that were some of the lights compatible, or is there only so many of them that need the ADLS lighting on them per FAA?
It's per the FAA requirement.
Okay, but... when it is
the ones that are at the perimeters, you know, where the aircraft approach have lights, but some of the internal or interior ones don't need them for FAA requirements.
Okay, but those will go dark when the system is not activated, is that correct?
Correct. When the ADLS system is, you know, has the lights off, there will be no lights on, I guess, to confirm.
Sure. And going back to Commissioner Fedorchuk's questions, supply status, you said manufacturing has been complete?
Correct. All the
components? Where are they at in shipping, do you know?
I don't know exactly. I don't know if Kassoon, I know, has been following that closer. And I don't know if he has exact dates for delivery, but I know they were kind of on their way and expected in the coming weeks.
Okay, and do you know where they're being shipped from?
The main components from Europe. I don't know the exact location in Europe.
Sure, and there's no concerns about issues at ports getting those unloaded off of ships and delivered here in time. I know that's a big concern right now. If I had product on a ship in the middle of the ocean, I wouldn't be expecting it on time, but you guys are pretty sure there's going to be no delays in that arena?
The supplier hasn't voiced any concerns with that.
Have you guys reached out and asked that question?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, we have pretty regular meetings with them. I've been pressing on that.
Okay. And were you at all involved with the Foxtail project?
No, the group that I work in did that, but I was not directly involved.
Okay, one of the issues that came up in that one that I guess has raised a concern with everybody putting these in last minute, they had issues with wiring and the temperatures that it could be, put in at, and cold weather was an issue. There's not going to be, you guys don't have any concerns or delay issues based on the fact that you're constructing these towers, going to have to run all the wiring and the weather might be at freezing or below?
Again, not anything that the supplier has voiced. They are confident that they're going to be able to do the construction kind of as we have in the latest schedule.
I guess that's all the questions I have. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. Commissioner Christman, do you have any questions for Toby?
The access roads, and you can clarify which ones you're talking about between the two projects, are they generally in cropland or in grasslands, and do they run diagonally across fields or pastures, or do they kind of stay straight with the world?
Well, so they are in farmland. So in Courtney, it's corn and soybean field. Borders, it's canola and wheat. So at Courtney, the radar location was moved, several times, but the initial route was about a 2,000 foot access road, which was a larger disruption to the farmer. And so we moved the tower a little bit and decreased and changed the orientation of the access road to be about 600 feet. The trenching's still pretty long for the power and communication lines, but we were able to limit the access road length. At Borders, we moved the tower to the southeast corner of the property as much as we could, and actually had to end up using an adjacent landowner's land for some of the trenching access. But that one is a very short access road, and it's less than 50 feet. So we were able to move that within the limits of the property. But that also, when we moved the tower at Borders, that caused us to increase the height of the tower when we did that.
So the long access road, does it go like straight north and south or east and west for the most part? Or is that mostly 2,000 feet of just going across, you know, so that farm equipment has to keep crossing over it round after round, or can they kind of follow it?
No, we moved it and oriented it. Sorry if I interrupted you there, but we moved it and oriented it so it had the least amount of disruption to the farmer, and it's pretty much a straight shot directly in. And we did, on that one, change the access road length to 600 feet. We still needed the trenching. The reason we had the original longer length was to have the power and fiber, you know, run parallel with the access road. But we changed that orientation, kept the trenching path so that will be still underground in the location of the original access road, but we oriented the actual access road, you know, opposite almost of that, and limited the length.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Crosses.
Okay, thank you. One, I don't know if this is a question or a comparison, but it is a question. You can explain this to the best of your ability. You're using DTECT, correct, as the vendor for the primary components?
That's correct.
Sorry, I didn't catch that whole question.
DTECT
is
a primary vendor you're working with on this, correct?
That's correct. DTECT, yes.
Okay. I think I can do this. As an example, Otter Tail Power also used DTECT. And Otter Tail Power completed their Maricourt project in September using DTECT under the same challenges with supply chain issues, et cetera. Was there something unique that you're aware of that in terms of your involvement and relationship with the vendor that, in other words, I guess to cut to the chase, how did Otter Tail or how did another operator get it done? And now you're asking for an extension. Is there something unique about that I'm missing?
Well, I don't have familiarity with the Otter Tail projects, but from our standpoint, kind of the biggest thing that has pushed our schedule this late in the year has been those landowner issues and the need to kind of keep reorienting and updating the drawings, the design drawings, which limited, you know, our ability to.
So that was the biggest issue, was the landowner side.
Yeah, on this upfront and the construction start schedule, yes. And the bit of NEPA and other permitting.
Okay. Well, you're still cutting it incredibly close to have components still having to be moved across the ocean. So there's, I don't have to delve into that. I think that is, you know, self-explanatory. Okay, I don't have anything else.
Thank you, Toby. Two questions for me. On the access road, I wasn't quite clear in Commissioner your response to Commissioner Chrisman, but so he, having been a farmer and rancher, appreciates how roads impact fields. And when you say that you made the road as short as possible, it feels to me like it might cut diagonally across a field then. Is it parallel to the other roads or to the other, the operation of the field, or does it cut right through to the tower and create kind of a barrier in the middle of the field? I know you did this with the landowner's input, but so I'm sure that they, you know, are okay with however you decided, but help me better visualize the access road to the tower since we can't see it on a map.
Yeah, no, it essentially runs perpendicular. So at Courtney, which is the one that has the longer access road, so it's basically perpendicular to the, you know, other county roads in the area, or section. Yeah, I guess they're all county roads in there. So they're perpendicular to the county roads. So it's kind of a straight shot. What is diagonal is the trenching path, which won't have the long-term disruption to the landowners' operations, but it is essentially perpendicular.
Okay.
At Courtney, and again, it borders. It's less than 50-foot access road right at the kind of southeast corner, and we had to move it to allow for access of the farming equipment.
Okay, good.
I feel.
And when you were selecting the towers, did you have an idea of which landowners you might be looking at under a variety of scenarios? Or was it literally you had no clue where to start with landowners until you knew exactly which tower you were going to go with?
Well, so essentially the way it works, they do what they call a view shed analysis, which takes all of the tower heights, takes into account all of the topography, and, you know, their software and that analyzes it and tells, you know, gives a kind of a small search ring that gives you really pretty narrow options for, you know, for where the tower can go to avoid any kind of obstructions, whether it's trees or grain silos or anything like that, or just the topography itself. So when they provided us with that, you know, that search ring, that we were able to talk with operations and determine there which of the landowners, you know, in our previous work with them would be more, you know, would be more likely to want to negotiate with us again and have a tower on their property. But it was a pretty small area, but we only knew that once DTEC had completed their view shed analysis.
And so that was in June?
So that the view shed analysis was initially done as part of their proposal that we received, but the actual kind of finalizing the schedule and more of, I guess you could say, official outreach was more like that June timeframe.
So you could have narrowed it down to a number of landowners and started reaching out to them before June, but you waited till you had the exact specific one nailed down to start talking? Is that what I am to understand?
Well, no, sorry. With landowners, we did work earlier than that with them and start reaching out, but the finalizing, you know, I guess final negotiation with them was not completed until we had more official drawings, right? We reached out, and part of the issues that caused delays, we did have some verbal agreements that in both cases, the landowners were open to having the towers in the fields. And in both cases, once, you know, we placed the tower in the most optimal location for the radar system itself, that's when, you know, it introduced the issues with the length and locations of the access roads, which caused us to, you know, further update our design and further negotiate with the landowners.
So you had nailed it down to a couple potential landowners before that June time period?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Those are all my questions. Anybody else have follow-up questions? No? Okay. All right. Zev, do you have any other witnesses you'd like to call?
No, Commissioner.
All right. Very good. Then I think we're to the point where we can take public comment. If there are any people on the line listening that you'd like to offer the opportunity to talk, Jason, now would be the time. Is anyone listening? Okay. Do you want to talk to them? Or can, I guess I can talk to them. They're listening. what do they need to do in order to participate, to let you know they want to talk? Okay, so for the listener on the line, if you're a member of the public and wish to comment, just press *9 and raise your hand, and we will call on you. Okay, so we're going to assume that given a minute or so that person on the line is not a member of the public or at least doesn't have anything that they wish to say. All right. Okay, with that then I think we're at the end of all the required duties. Zev, I give you a chance to wrap it up with closing comments if you'd like to make any.
I appreciate that, Commissioner. We do, again, believe that we've acted in a reasonable manner and do request an extension of time should we need it. But we very much appreciate the direction of the Commission and hearing what all three of you had to say. We think that's an important message to hear, and we appreciate it.
Okay. Very good. Brian, any thoughts?
Nope.
Okay. Commissioner Christman, any closing comments?
No, I do not.
Mr. Crushes?
No,
okay.
Express my thoughts, so no need to review.
All right, and I don't have any closing comments as well, so it is 9:20, and this hearing on case numbers, let's see here, get them right, 07-797, 17-362, 13-64, and 15-174 is concluded. Thank you. Oh, I guess I don't have